I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 5. We're carrying on from, I'm not sure where we've got really, but I think we've nearly finished on this. We've been looking at the Beatitudes. Blessed are, or wonderful news for, whichever way you want to interpret it. So Matthew chapter 5, just want to read the first 14 verses. Just to remind us where we are. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So we're looking at the last verse of that, verse 14. You are the light of the world. The wonderful news, if you like, the blessed bees bit, blessed are bits, conclude with these two statements at the end of it. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And we just want to pick up on that last statement that Jesus brings. Jesus is preaching on the kingdom of God. We prayed earlier in that prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We speak it lightly, we say it quickly, and I think sometimes we don't really mean it because we don't live it. Certainly, we don't live it. And that's what we're going to try and look at this morning. The verses that we've been reading are what Jesus is saying, this is what it's about, to be people that live out the reality of the kingdom of God. This is the thing I'm trying to get across to you. Okay? Understand this. Understand these things. Get this in who you are. And we will start to see the kingdom of God come and change happen in this world in which we live. I imagine Jesus, I don't think all this happened in one day, what we've read, probably over a few days, but imagine Jesus probably getting the end of a day and he was probably quite exhausted and quite tired and maybe going into somebody's house and the people were still there and they were still listening and they still wanted to know what he had to say. And I just imagine as he just sat there, maybe somebody was getting some food or something, and in the corner there would be a lamp with a candle in it or some sort of light coming out of it. And I just imagine Jesus just turned to it and saying, "Yeah, that's what I want you to be like. I want you to be like that. I want you to be a light that shines into the darkness, that pierces the darkness, that breaks into the world that is just so wrong and so screwed up and speaks truth into it. Guys, sitting, listening, eating your food at this moment, that light is what I want you to be. You can make the difference. That candle makes a difference. It destroys the light. It brings hope and purpose into the room. That's what I want you to be like." And you say, "Well, that's okay, but how do we do that? What's that all about?" Well, if you've been listening over the past X weeks, you would have known. If you were listening, if you'd taken on board what was said, you would know. It's been explained to you over the past few weeks. It's the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, those who are persecuted because of righteousness. That's what Jesus is saying is the light of the world, that he expects us to shine into the darkness. Pierce people's thinking with the things that we say, our attitudes and our actions. Don't just go with the flow. Stand against the tide. Be people that are going to say, no, that isn't right. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not prepared just to go with the flow. I'm going to make a difference. See, going with the flow isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. See, standing against what the tabloid press says or the media is extremely difficult. I was actually saying to somebody earlier, do you know, I think that most of us here in this room get our values not from the Bible, unfortunately. We get our values from what Sky News or what the papers tell us is going on in the world, because that's what we think and that's what we believe we have to go with. And sometimes we need to stop and say, let's just have a think. Let's just have a think. Is our judgment that we're making on this particular issue a kingdom view, i.e. what Jesus would want, or is it what the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, the Times, Sky News, BBC News is telling us that we should be thinking and doing? What does Jesus say about these things? Now, you might say, oh, well, Jesus wrote, or Jesus said these things so many years ago, they're not really relevant today. We can't take it all that seriously, can we? The quote that you see there from that guy, Jeremy Corbyn, he got absolutely ripped to pieces by that. Let's not bomb them in Syria. Let's talk to them. See if we can bring peace by talking to people. So he was called a dinosaur. He was called irrelevant. He was called an idiot. He was called all sorts of things. See in the paper this morning, there's pictures of him in a beaten up old shell suit trying to make him look an idiot. Now, he may be a strange man. I'm not standing up for the guy at all. But sometimes people need to speak against the flow and speak the things that they believe. And I believe that in if you look in the chapters that we've looked in Matthew, in fact, if you look at the whole teaching of Jesus, Jesus doesn't once say, if they annoy you, go and bomb them. He doesn't say it anywhere. I think you'll struggle to find that because it isn't there. What Jesus actually wants us to do, be peacemakers. We've read it. Read it in verse, wherever it is. We've read it. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. In fact, Jesus goes a bit further than that. If you read, if you've got your Bible open, if you look at verse 38 of chapter 5, Jesus says this, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That means you bomb me, I'll bomb you. That's what that means. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. I won't explain those verses now, but that is Jesus being funny. There is humour in there that you need to understand the concept of what was going on in the time to hear that. But that is Jesus being funny and taking the mick out of the person that's speaking. But Jesus says, you've heard it was said, love your neighbour, hate your enemy. That's the common parlance, isn't it? But Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Kingdom values. That's what we're supposed to be about, isn't it? If we want to be Christians, if we want to be people that are following Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Could I ask a question? Where is the church's voice on what's going on in the world at the moment? Where is the common voice of the church that's speaking and saying what is going on isn't helpful? I think you'd have to really strain to hear it, because you don't hear it. The church is quiet on it. Why is that? Why are we quiet on it? Why don't we speak up about it also? What about this is quite tragic, I think, 31% increase in homelessness in 2015. There were 8 homeless people in Eastbourne. Apparently the other week it was declared there was 32. That's more than 31%. That's what it's around nationally. What does being light of the world speak into the situation where people are homeless. This year, this Christmas, there'll be people sleeping in the doorways. I was talking to a police officer the other day, and they were telling me that a gentleman that I knew quite well is now sleeping every night in the doorway of the Trespass clothes shop by WH Smith's. He's ended up sleeping there. What's going to happen with the 40 million cuts that are going on in East Sussex County Council to adult social care? I was speaking to somebody about Eastbourne YMCA only on Friday evening, and he said they're going to have to shut one of the homes. What do they do with the 20 young people that are in that home? He said, shall we put them in a minibus and wheel them down to the council and say, find homes for these 20 people? They've nowhere to go. What's the church saying about it? It's making some noises, but what's it saying about that? How can we be light of the world in that situation? What can we do that makes a difference? See, Jesus says, wonderful news, be merciful. How can we, as church, be merciful in this situation? Have we even thought about it? Have we completed the questionnaire that East Sussex County Council have put out, asking what you want to do? Or have we just said, well, somebody else can do that. That's easier than me spending half an hour doing it. Because it is a long, horrible questionnaire. I think they do it deliberately to put people off filling them in. But what are we saying? What's our thinking on it? That quote at the top is somebody that actually wrote that to me this week. That is a true quote that was written to me this week. This lady said, thank you so much. My partner came down today to Food Bank. So grateful for your help. Oh, I could cry. I could cry. You've made a difficult time so much better. Thank you. She was going to have no food. Her husband had been off work because of ill. And when he was ill, he didn't get any money. So there was no food for the family. Since Food Bank started, we have provided 300,000 meals. 300,000 meals into Eastbourne for hungry people. Trying to stand against the flow of people being hungry and poverty in the town. Our aim is that no vulnerable person in Eastbourne goes hungry. Those people that are involved in that project, and there's a lot of people involved in that food bank project, being light. Are we being light and standing up and saying, we are not going to let these hungry people have nothing to eat? We're going to stand against the tide of austerity that seems to be washing over our land at the moment more and more. What about this? Is Ban Ki-moon. He's the General Secretary of the United Nations. This is an issue which the church is sort of keeping awfully quiet on, isn't it? With the war, the poverty, the homelessness, the sexual discrimination, the violence, all needs to be stood against if we're going to be lights of the world. Injustice, discrimination, hatred towards others shouldn't be acceptable, should it? This guy speaks out on behalf of those gay people who are discriminated against and who experience violence because of who they are. Where is the voice of the church on this? See, unless we live out kingdom values practically every day, our light's hidden and it becomes irrelevant. So call on our lives to be people who live out what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it's a tough job, because the tide is going against us in a massive way. There's more things that we could list on there, of things that the refugee situation, all those things that are happening affecting our country, and the church keeps quiet on it. Do you know the thing that really irritated me this morning, and it might have irritated you too, if you heard the news? You know this prayer, that the Lord's Prayer thing they're trying to put on the cinemas, and they nearly got it on there, and then somebody's made a decision that they're not going to be able to show it. So what does the Church of England do? The Church of England go to the court about it. How much is that going to cost? What's the point of doing it? What are they banging that drum for? Is there something better they could be spending that money on? And the whole effort that will go into that seems to be that the church sort of lose. I'm not blaming one particular sector of the church. Let's point the finger at us. We lose our way on things. And kingdom values, the things that Jesus says we aren't living by, and we're just ignoring those things more and more. There was a time, not long ago, when a church would be on almost every corner of every road, wouldn't it? And if you drive into London, you can see lots of chapels and lots of little churches that are now carpet shops, that are, you know, factories, that are warehouses, because they've closed and they've gone. And people used to look at the church on the corner of the road, and they used to think that that represented God and faith and hope and purpose and value. When it's a carpet shop, it maybe represents that more sometimes, perhaps. But it's gone, isn't it? That has gone. And the image of the church being the voice and being the that group of people that stood against the wrong things and stood for the positive things, the good things. I think that was totally misguided, and I don't think that was the right way of looking at it, but it was a time when it was like that. But when we look at the Bible, Jesus doesn't talk about buildings on the corner of roads representing anything. Jesus talks about it being us, talks about it being me, talks about it being you. How do you speak out into the dark place that you live in? How do we speak into the world which seems to be going just headlong along a particular route? Do we say, well, it isn't worth speaking, it isn't worth saying it anymore? See, churches are really good at doing what we've done this morning, having some singing, practicing it, so it all sounds good. We all come on a Sunday and we do that really well. We like to be people that get fairly religious in what we do. You look through what Jesus teaches on the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't once mention practicing your singing, going to the meeting and being religious. Jesus talks about what we do being a lifestyle. And sometimes I think the church spends too much time on doing and being something which is almost irrelevant to the world than it does actually speaking into the issues, speaking into the current values that the world has, and saying, no, there's a better way of doing that. There's a way that actually makes a difference. This is the way. And maybe some of you are sitting here at the moment thinking, he's in cloud cuckoo land, because that isn't the real world. Get in the real world, Howard. Then you'll really know. Of course we can't talk to people about war. We have to bomb them. Of course we're never going to have people having accommodation, because we haven't got enough money. They just have to live on the streets. Of course we'll have hungry people. Budgets are being cut. That's just how it is. Does it have to be like that? Does it really? I don't think it does. I don't think Jesus was naive when he spoke these words. I don't think Jesus had it wrong when he spoke these words. He spoke these words because that was God's way of doing stuff. Okay? Not the preacher's way. God's way of doing it. And we decide we know better than that. And look at the mess we end up with in our world. See, this part that we've looked at, Matthew's gospel, detailing the kingdom of God, it gives us specific things here. He's turning the values of the world upside down. I talked about this a few weeks ago, but actually it's turning it the right way. But it's turning it up the way that God says, this is the way to live. This is the way to do stuff. And if you've got time today, just if you've got a Bible at home, find Matthew chapter 5 and read the chapter through. And probably read chapter 6 as well, because that would be helpful. And then look at a newspaper or look at the news tonight on the television and just see how conflicting the issues in the newspaper and the issues of on the news, the opinions, contrast so different to what Jesus is saying in these chapters. And then say, what do I believe? Do I believe the editor of the Daily Mail or the man that puts the BBC News together? Or am I believing what Jesus says? Is there a different way that we can live? Is the way that Jesus says we have to live the way that will actually make a difference? It's very difficult. It's not an easy thing to do. I've got a meeting on Tuesday with the head of one of the senior, very, very senior people in the council and the councillor that's responsible for housing. I don't expect it to be a brilliant meeting, unfortunately. But I've got a meeting with them because we're banging the drum about temporary accommodation. We are disgusted with the state of temporary accommodation in this town. It's poor, it's bad, and it needs to be better. Even the council admit it's not good enough. Something needs to happen. I'm prepared to stick my head on the block and speak out about it. And I'm going with the head of the Citizens Advice Bureau and one of their social policy team, and we've already had a little meeting with them, and it's going to be a very friendly meeting, but I don't think it's going to be particularly helpful. Are we willing to invest time in speaking into things like that? You know, to say change needs to happen. Temporary accommodation doesn't affect me, but it affects thousands of people in the town. How can we speak into situations like that and make a difference? You may not have an opportunity to go and speak to the head man in the council about temporary accommodation, but there's other things that you can speak into and say, no, that isn't the way we should be doing it. So you can, if you want to pray for me on Monday, on Tuesday at 4 o'clock, that's happening there. There was a song a long time ago, you maybe sang it in Sunday school, and it goes like this. No, I'm not going to sing it. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In these times of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. Can I say that is a load of rubbish? We're not called to be in our small corner. We're called to speak into the big world. We're not called to stand in our corner and just a little shine in the corner. We're asked to speak into the world and say, no, that isn't acceptable. No, that isn't the way that we want these things to go. You've got to listen to what we're saying. The church has to rise up and have its voice. It has to do it. Are you prepared to be a light in the place where God has called you to be? Where you live, where you work, and where you socialise. If you go to the pub with your friends, that's a classic place of where popular opinion will fly in the face quite often of what the values that the Bible would be teaching. Are you prepared to speak up and say, no, hang on a minute, there's a better way to do that? You'll be laughed at, definitely. You'll be told you're stupid, you'll be told you're naive, definitely. But gradually, if more and more people are prepared to speak against the common flow that is headlong going in the opposite direction to what God wants, there will be change. And we will see God's kingdom come. And we will see God's will be done on earth. Think about it as you listen to the news this week. Think about it as you read the newspaper. Think about it when you see people speaking out and being mocked in the papers and the news for saying particular things. Just think about it. See how you could make a difference this week, because that's what God calls you to do. God doesn't call you to sing songs on a Sunday morning, although that's nice. God doesn't call you to sit in rows like this on a Sunday morning. What he does call you to do is be people that make a difference in the place where you live, where you work, and where you socialise. To stand against the flow and say, no, 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 there's a better way of doing this. There's a different way of doing it. Don't even necessarily have to say it's God's way, but we need to speak out and stand against it. Let's just pray. Yeah, Father God, thank you that when we read this stuff, it seems so straightforward and simple, but then when we face it against the massive issues that this world faces and the popular opinion that is bandied around so easily, it seems that it's easier just to keep quiet and go with the flow and trust the people that make the big decisions to make the right decision. Father God, unfortunately, as we think and we read your word, we realise that so many of the decisions that are made are the wrong decision, and they're not what you would want in this world at all. They're not kingdom values. They're not how you would want us to live. So, Father, would you change our hearts? Would you be would you put into our minds, put into our heads, the way that we can be the people that you want us to live, that we can see your kingdom come to earth in our lifetime while we're able to make a difference, not in 20, 30, 40 years' time, but now, that we can collectively and together, your body, make a difference as each of us speaks, as each of us thinks, as each of us changes our values to be the values that you want us to have. We can be change makers. Father God, don't make us scared. Don't make us feel beaten up by what's been said today. Just challenge our hearts, challenge our thinking. Help us to take on board these things, our attitudes to change. And Father God, I pray for anybody here this morning that's already doing that and finding it really difficult and finding that they do get mocked and people do rib them on it. Father God, give them confidence. Give them a real courage to speak out and to carry on doing what they're doing so that we can see your kingdom come in Eastbourne in our lifetime. Father God, we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.